Good morning, everybody. So we get the fourth parak of Avos at the mission of Ben Zoma. As is very clear, is working off a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which we read as the Haftorah for Tisha B'Av. Al Yisrael El Chacham B'Chachmaso, Al Yisrael Gibor B'Gvuraso, Al Yisrael El Asher B'Oshro, Ki Mizos Yishalo HaMishalo Haskel B'Yado Osi, Ki Ani Hashem Osechasen Mishpat Utsdaka Ba'aretz Ki Ve'El Chafatzi Num Hashem. So Rabbeinu Yonah notes this, and he says, but, you know, Ben Zoma was like cholik on Yirmiyahu. It's even hard to say those words in the sense that, you know, there is a tzad osher, and there is a tzad gevura, and there is a tzad chochma that you can be mishalal in, and he explains what that is. And then he adds this fourth category. I would put it in different terms. I don't think it's a matter of being cholik, but being mifarish, that what Yirmiyahu meant is the standard chachma, the standard gevura, the standard osher. Kim bezos yishalom mishalol haskel v'yadosi ki ani Hashem osachashad mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz ki ve'lechafatzi l'mashem mela. Once you understand what Yirmiyahu and Avi is saying, that the thing to be proud of in this world, as we'll go, you know, echad echad, thing to be proud of in this world, there's spiritual attainments, not to be outwardly ostentatious exhibitionist about it, but to be quietly, you know, proud of. That's where a person should invest their time and their energy. So Mela, there had to be a fourth category based on the pasuk of Ani Hashem Osechased Mishpat Utsdaka Va'aretz Ki Davei Lechafatz Nim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a lot of time being Mechabed Esabrios. And Mela, right, it was really important to, you know, to spend time doing that as well. So that's why Ben Zoma added the fourth category. So, you know, Bigadol, what's really happening here, and it's so clear and very, I think, very beautiful, and is that, you know, Ben Zoma is inverting the meaning of all of these from their natural state, what people would think that they mean, you know, to something much deeper. So, for example, you know, if you think who's the big chacham out there, you would think the big chacham in the world is the one who, you know, everybody looks to for guidance, and maybe there's some truth in that, but Ben Zoma says no. Ben Zoma says that the biggest chacham in the world is the one who knows, who's wise enough how to learn from everybody, how to learn. There's some, because there really is a mitzvah of Al Tiyavaz L'chol Adam E'lecha Adam Shein Lo Shah, and that's a much bigger form of chachma, because even the Katan Shebiktanim can have something to offer. And the same thing is true about a gibor, right? A gibor, you know, you think about a gibor as somebody who, you know, outwardly, again, is very impressive and, you know, the world's strongest man, you know, is a little chedir. But there's, you know, as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was later, you know, mechaving to, it's the hardest thing in the world is to break, you know, amida. And so Moshel Berucho Milo Chedir, you know, HaKovesh Yisro is obviously the apotheosis of human strength, and but it's not, you know, what outwardly is obvious, far from it. And the same thing with wealth, right? You know, people spend their whole lives chasing wealth, and the sad reality is that that doesn't bring them any satisfaction. So the wealthiest person is not, you know, the person who Forbes lists as the wealthiest person in the world, but a person who's truly embracing of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them in this world and uses it to effect. So, you know, Ben Zoma, I call this the inversion principle, that he's inverting these things. It's not the one who everybody looks to for knowledge. One looks to or can discern knowledge from everybody. And it's not the person who outwardly is the greatest wealth, but it's the person who, you know, has the inner peace. It's not a guy who can do the most bench pressing, but the person who's, you know, most in control of themselves. And the same thing is true. And here Rabbeinu Yonah writes extremely beautifully in terms of kavod. Rabbeinu Yonah says, look, you know, if a person is a truly a mechubad person, an absolute mensch of a person, so what can somebody really, you know, add to that? What is somebody's going to be mevazah that person? They're all of a sudden, you know, not going to be a bekavodik individual, a mensch, and lahefech. Sadly, if a person is not a mensch, so what? Just because they made him the president of you know, some organization, so he is a mensch now? No, he's just a minuvel with a title. So that's the, you know, there's a deep truth there. There's one story that I'd like to share in the context of this Mishnah, which I think is so powerful. least from to me anyway, the story of Dwight Eisenhower. You know, Eisenhower, everybody agrees, wasn't you know, a great tactician. Maybe even on like a poor tactician. There are legitimate critiques of the way that he, you know, when he was Supreme Allied Commander, you know, the way that he went about it. And what was his remarkable strength? His ability to hold the alliance together, the only chance the Germans had, and they knew this, and the Americans knew this, and the Allies knew this, was to break the alliance apart. And that was, you know, a real possibility, considering the fact that, as is the case today, right, there was some really deep animus there, especially between the British and the Soviets. The Americans weren't that far behind, and deep mistrust, and the only hope the Germans had was to try to exploit that, and they tried everything. And you know, Eisenhower was really a Moshe Berucho, and you know, didn't let his ego and other people's very large egos, Montgomery and Patton, Bradley. The stories are legion. You know, about how close the whole thing was to imploding, you know, dealing with these characters. And the irony is that he was just about the last person in the world, you would think, of Pederach HaTeva, who would have, you know, achieved that. It's a beautiful story which is recorded in Brooks. David Brooks wrote a book called The Road to Character about Dwight Eisenhower, the young Dwight Eisenhower's, you know, struggles, early struggles with the Ka'as. He had a terrible temper, and one day he punched a tree in his backyard and busted up his hand. And his mother, you know, waited an hour, which is already how you know how the story took place over 100 years ago, you know, and didn't sue the tree, which is also a second indication. You know, and she said to him this pasuk in English. She says, she said, and she was a deeply a devout religious woman, and she said that, you know, the greatest warrior is the one who develops forbearance, and the person who controls their spirit is greater than the conqueror of the city. And he took that to heart, to his credit, to her credit, to his credit, and became the person who was chosen to be the most significant general of the 20th century, not because he was a great tactician, but again, because he was a Moshe Berucho and could lead to victory in the most decisive battle, you know, in world history, you know, true good versus evil. You know, it was all on account of his mother and Mishle. And so, you know, the power of these ideas to, you know, shape lives, I think, is an extraordinary thing. And you know, it's also a story about motherhood and how, you know, it, as it also says in Mishle, Shema b'ni Musar v'ichal titosh Torah simecha, how powerful these things can really be.